Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. As we've said, this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located in actually Vilas, North Carolina, but that is just outside of Boone. A lot of people may not know where Vilas is, but they know where Boone is. So I usually, when somebody asks me where I'm from, I'll say Boone or near Boone. But anyway, we're just outside of Boone. You take Highway 105 South and then 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd love for you to come visit with us in any or all of our services. On Sundays, we have a normal 10 a.m. Sunday school time for all ages. That's from the smallest right up through the adults. We have a college class available as well. Sunday morning worship begins at 11. Wednesday nights at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. We are currently going through the book of Mark and the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter number 3, and I have really enjoyed preaching and teaching in the book of Mark. Just a lot of good things in there. Well, anyway, we wanted to take a moment and invite you out. If you are in the area visiting, or maybe you don't have a church home, you're looking for one, we'd love for you to come visit and be with us. Noah is not with me today. Usually he is in the studio and he takes care of a lot of things in our radio ministry. And I just wanted to take a moment and say how much I appreciate all the hard work that he does. And then I got to thinking about it the other day. He's not the only one that takes part in the ministry. Miss Julie Hayes, one of the dear sisters in our church, she takes care of the website and putting up the radio broadcast and information, and she just quietly works behind the scenes, but a very important ministry, and we appreciate everybody that takes a part and makes it happen. Well, we've been studying Heroes of Liberty. We're going to get right into that, the subject of Heroes of Liberty right here. And we've already spent 2 weeks on this subject. I don't know how long we will look at this. I was thinking about it. You know, there's a lot of other things that are going on in the world, events, even prophetic things. And, of course, we need to do what the Bible says. We need to watch and be ready because we do not know the hour when the Lord might come. Now, that's a paraphrase. I didn't quote a verse, but there's a lot of verses along those lines in the Bible. But I believe this will be an encouragement to your heart and help you. We're just studying one individual a week, and we're not doing this chronologically or in order of time. We're going to skip around a little bit, and we may fast forward to present day. We may go back and pick somebody out of the Bible. The past 2 weeks, we began with Moses, and then the second week, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and his influence on the subject of liberty. He came proclaiming liberty to the captives, is what the Bible says. And if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. So a lot of ways we could look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at another hero of liberty. We're going to look at a man named Tertullian. Tertullian, now that's a different name. You know, that's maybe one that we're not familiar with. We have to go back into church history. Mr. Tertullian was not a Bible character. We do not find him in the pages of the Scripture. But Tertullian is considered to be one of the early church fathers. Now, I teach church history. That doesn't make me an authority by any means, but I've studied quite a bit of church history, and I found this out. Some of those church fathers were good, and some of those men who are considered to be church fathers Well, they were not so good. Some of them were downright heretics, and certainly not someone we would want to pattern our doctrine, our beliefs after. Some of them did not believe, or they had heretical views concerning the deity of Christ and many other things. So I'm real careful about quoting or talking about some of these church fathers, but you have to keep in mind some of them were pretty good and some of them not so good. We're not going to make a in-depth study about the church fathers, but Tertullian, he's one of the good ones, and we're going to look at some things about this man named Tertullian. He is known as one of the ablest of the apologists. Now, that word apologist, or if you hear somebody talking about the study of apologetics, what that word simply means is this: defense, somebody who would defend the faith. And that's what Tertullian is most well known for, is his defense of the Christian faith before the pagans of his day. We could say about him what the Bible says in the book of Jude and verse number 3, when it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And Tertullian, he's one of these defenders of the faith. He was a prolific writer. And although all of his writings are not in existence, many of them are. And you can go and you can do a search on the internet and read some of the things that Tertullian left us. He's known as the ablest of the apologists. He's known as the father of Latin theology. Now, the reason he's known as the father of Latin theology is because he is one of the earliest church fathers that begin to write in Latin. And that's why he's known as the father of Latin theology. But one interesting thing about Tertullian that interests me the most, he was also known as Tertullian the Baptist. Now, the oldest denominational name for the New Testament church in the world is simply Christians. Acts chapter number 11, they were called Christians. The second oldest name is the name Anabaptist, which means to rebaptize. And we find the phrase Anabaptist very early in church history. This is before there was a Catholic church, a Protestant church, any of the Protestant denominations. You do not find them coming along until well after 1,000 years A.D. And so you have to realize that in the very beginning, that when Christianity was very young, we see that these church fathers, some of them were good, some of them were bad. Tertullian was known as Tertullian the Baptist. He was born about 160 A.D., probably 155, 160 A.D., somewhere around in there in northern Africa. Carthage is the city that he was born in. He was raised in a wealthy family. He was educated early. He knew Greek. His father was well off, and Tertullian was a pagan. But somewhere along the way, Tertullian heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a Christian. Now, if he was born about 160 A.D., that puts him in the second generation after the apostles. The apostle John, he was the oldest apostle, or the one that lived the longest. He lived up until around 900 to 100 A.D., somewhere around in there. His disciples would have been, there's a gentleman named Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle. Well, Tertullian would have fallen into that generation of Christians that would have known of Polycarp's generation, the second generation of Christians after the apostles. Now, we're going to study Tertullian. I want to make sure that while we're studying this subject of heroes of liberty, that we remember that liberty was not an American idea, But liberty was God's idea for humanity. Liberty comes from the mind of God. And I think we get in our minds sometime that you think about liberty, that that does not come along until America. But all down through the centuries, there have been different ones that have been heroes for liberty. And we've already pointed out many times when we come on this radio broadcast and we quote Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's the first time you find the word liberty in the Bible. And that was God's proclamation to his people. God's idea, God's desire for mankind was liberty and is liberty. And if you read the first message, we might say, the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 4, you find out that Jesus Christ stood up in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah chapter number 61. And I just want to read the passage of Scripture which Jesus read at the beginning of his earthly ministry. You find this in Luke chapter 4, down around verse number 17. And there was delivered unto him, talking about Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, when he opened up the book of Isaiah, he found the place where it was written. Now, he did not just randomly open up the book of Isaiah, what we know as the book of Isaiah, but he found the place. He did this on purpose. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. First words that we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about liberty. Liberty is God's idea. We find heroes of liberty all throughout history. We find it in Leviticus 25:10. We find it in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go far in the New Testament to see the struggle of the early church for religious liberty. We could actually truthfully say there has always been a struggle between the church and the state. We find that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 4, Peter is arrested. He is arrested over what happened in Acts chapter number 3. So you see, they didn't get started very far, and they've got trouble with the law. They've got trouble with the government. Not that they'd broken any laws or even did anything wrong, but simply for the fact of the power of the Christian and the power of the gospel. And so we find struggle, we find conflict from the very beginning. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself weighed in on the matter of separation of church and state. They came to the Lord Jesus, and they were always trying to capture or trap him in his words. And in Matthew chapter 22, they came and they asked him, "Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Should we be paying our taxes to these pagan heathen Romans or not?" That's what they were asking him. And I'm sure you're familiar with the passage of Scripture. Jesus said, "Bring me a penny. Whose is the image and the superscription?" And it was Caesar's. And he said in Matthew 22 and 21, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So he had to deal with this subject of the church and the state, the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world, we might say. But you cannot truly study church history without studying the struggle for religious liberty. It's been from the very beginning. Liberty of conscience. We ought to obey God rather than man, is what Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. The separation of church and state. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So there's been heroes of liberty all through the centuries. Now, the first persecutions, if we study church history, we're going to find that Tertullian was born during a time where the church was being heavily persecuted. And the first persecutions were at the hands of the religious Jews and the Roman pagans. And they worked together to persecute and to stamp out Christianity. If you study about, for example, the crucifixion of Christ, you find that there were both Jewish laws and Roman laws that were used and abused during the crucifixion of Christ. Both the Jews and the Romans were appealed to for their authority. So we find these two working together from the very beginning. This is interesting if you think about it. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, if you know the early history of Saul, he was a religious Jew. He was high up in the Sanhedrin, and he persecuted the church. We find Saul, who became Paul, in Acts chapter number 8, and we find him standing by in the last part of chapter 7 and the first part of chapter 8. We find him standing by, holding the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death. Well, in Acts chapter number 9, Saul meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saved by the grace of God. He accepts Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and he becomes Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. And we find out that in his life, he, in turn, is persecuted both by the Jews and by the pagan authorities, and he's put to death in Rome by the pagans. So this is very interesting when we study about the early church, and they were fiercely persecuted. It was by the Jews and it was by the pagans, and they worked together to do that. Now, about 100 years after the Apostle Paul was executed, and he was executed in A.D. 67. So we have Tertullian comes along about A.D. 160. So that's about, I'm saying approximately about 100 years later, Tertullian is born. And by this time, persecution was mainly from the pagans because Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. So Jerusalem's destroyed. The Jews are scattered abroad. They are being persecuted as well. And they're being murdered by the millions. And so now persecution in the early church is mainly carried out by the pagan Romans, the idolaters. And they worshiped all these Greek goddesses. They worshiped Diana. They worshiped Pluto and all of this stuff, Mercury, Mercurius, and all of these different deities that they had. Most people today have no idea how much blood was shed in the first 300 years of Christianity just trying to stamp it out. The reason that the Christians were persecuted, they were considered a sect or an off-branch of Judaism. And so the Jews didn't want anything to do with them. And the Christians, they could not, in good conscience, offer incense or sacrifice to the Roman emperor because the Romans seen the emperor as a deity. And so the Christians saw the emperor as a false god. And to offer incense, to just burn incense, was to them committing idolatry, where the Lord said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so the Christians, although they were good citizens, they were law-abiding, they were family-oriented, they were persecuted unmercifully because, simply, that they were Christians and they would not sacrifice, not even go into a temple and burn just a little incense in honor of the Roman emperor. They would not do it. So they were persecuted, and the cruel way in which they were persecuted, most people have no idea. They would take the early Christians, they would burn them at the stake. they would behead them. There was one road leading into Rome where one of the Roman emperors had taken Christians and had beheaded them, and for 30 miles he would put the head of a Christian on a stake, and that lined the highway going into Rome. Can you imagine that? You know, in our cities we have mile markers to let you know. Can you imagine 30 miles before you get into Charlotte or Atlanta or New York City that there would be a highway that had stakes that had human heads on them? And this was a warning, you better not become a Christian. Well, you talk about intimidation. You talk about cruelty, but this is what the early Christians had to go through, things like this. They would dip them in hot boiling oil and kill them that way. They would take the Christians and they would dress them up in animal skins where they'd skinned out other animals, and they'd put them into the Colosseum and turn the lions loose. And so the lions would come up and they would attack these Christians. They were fed to the lions. They would have to fight to the death, the Roman gladiators, and all for entertainment. And simply because they were Christians. But in spite of all this, Christianity, it didn't stifle it out. It did not stop Christianity. In spite of all this persecution, their numbers grew and their influence grew. One quote from Tertullian that I want to read to you today. I'm going to give you a couple, but to the heathens. Now, he was a defender of the Christian faith, and he would write and try to reason with the pagans. And one thing he said about the persecutions, he said, "All of your ingenious cruelties can accomplish nothing. They are only a lure to this sect. Our number increases the more you destroy us. The blood of the Christians is their seed." Maybe you've heard the quotation, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Well, that quotation comes from what Tertullian said. He actually said, "Our number increases the more you destroy us. The blood of the Christians is their seed." So Tertullian, he made the case. He said, "You're doing all these things. You're killing us. You're torturing us. But we're increasing. It's not working. We're growing. Instead of getting less, we're more." And persecution always does that in the Christian church. When the church is persecuted, it always grows. There is just something about human nature that if you tell somebody don't do this, they want to do it. And so that's one appeal. And then the other appeal is when Christians are persecuted, they forget about worldly things and they begin to seek the Lord and they pray more and they walk with God more and they have a stronger testimony when they're being persecuted. So persecution was backfiring. And Tertullian said, "This is not working. We're growing." He said, "The blood of the Christians is their seed." So that's an interesting quotation from Tertullian. Now, I want to share another one with you, and it also has to do with the subject of liberty. And anybody that is familiar with the language of, say, the Declaration of Independence or the writings of men like John Locke or James Madison or Thomas Jefferson or even some of the things Abraham Lincoln said and others as well, you will recognize the familiar thought patterns. Now, I'm not saying that Thomas Jefferson or James Madison read after Tertullian, but they could have. It's not that this was unavailable, but the influence of liberty is undeniable. Now, listen to what Tertullian said. And you got to remember, this is 225 A.D., somewhere around in there. Listen to what he said. He said, "However, it is a fundamental human right, a privilege of nature, that every man should worship according to his own convictions. One man's religion neither harms nor helps another man." Now, if you just read that, you'd think, well, that's from Jefferson. That's from Madison. No, that's from the 2nd century, the 3rd century A.D. by this gentleman named Tertullian. Just by way of comparison, listen to what Thomas Jefferson said about religion. He said, "The legitimate powers of government extend to such acts only as are injurious to others." Now, Thomas Jefferson, he's the author of the Virginia Statute for Religious Liberty. And so he thought about this. He wrote about this, very influential. In fact, that's what he wanted on his tombstone, not that he had part in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. He wanted his contribution to Virginia to be on his tombstone. So he wrote quite a bit and talked quite a bit about religious liberty. Listen to what he said, Thomas Jefferson. He said, "But it does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no god. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg." And so that same line of thought, that religion should be a matter of a person's convictions and one person's religion, what they believe, where they go to church, where they pay their tithe, does not affect another person. Tertullian fought for that. Thomas Jefferson fought for that. They are 17 centuries apart from one another, or 16, somewhere around in there. But they're centuries apart from one another. But you see, the more you study history, you find out that God has always had a voice for somebody to come along and stand in the gap and say what is going on is not right, and God's way is the best way, and God is anti-tyranny, he is pro-liberty. And all throughout history, we see these heroes that crop up. What a blessing and an encouragement that is, because we still need those individuals today. Now listen to what else Tertullian had to say. He said, "It is assuredly no part of religion to compel religion, to which free will and not force should lead us." So what is he saying there? He's saying it's not right for the here. What he was technically saying in context, he was saying it's not right for the pagans to try to force the Christians to burn incense to the Roman emperor. He said it is assuredly no part of religion to compel religion. You cannot twist somebody's arm and make them believe the way that you believe. He said it ought to be a matter of free will, to which free will and not force should lead us. Boy, I've pastored long enough. I know that you cannot force somebody into anything. If they don't make up their own mind and come of their own free will and their own heart, then they will not come. You cannot force somebody. And that is not part and never has been a part of true Christianity, to try to force somebody into believing something. Well, Tertullian was a hero of religious liberty. He preached boldly and taught boldly for independent churches. He was against the coming together of the church and state. He preached that baptism was for believers only. He preached for the separation of church and state. So what a great contribution we find in this gentleman named Tertullian. So we read again the verse we started out with, and we can apply this to Tertullian's life. He said, "Beloved," and this is in Jude, verse number 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So we're thankful for those that have earnestly contended for the faith down through the ages. We see our time is just about up today. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I would direct you to our church website for more information. It's mountlebanonbc.org. That is mtlebanonbc.org. Thank you for listening in today. We hope you have a great rest of the day, and God bless you is our prayer.
Frank Sedapani, CBS News. Mike Riley, NCN News.
local news and information with Roten in the Morning, your favorite news talk throughout the day on AM 1450 WATA. Boom.
MCN News. I'm Mike Riley. The families of six people killed in Samson.